Now, with all of us standing, I want us to get ready to welcome all those that are watching from around the country and around the world. What a joy for those that are with us around the United States, New York area, but especially those that are watching from different parts of the world and even different universities. We just welcome you. We want to say hello to watching live with us. We say hello to South Africa, Angola, Tunisia, Nigeria. We welcome Malaysia, South Korea, Singapore, and Cambodia. We say hello to India, Australia, the United Kingdom. You're not going to want to, it's going to be a clap in a while here, so let me finish. Sweden, Finland, the Netherlands. This is, now we have two First Nation that are joining with us. That was the Iyu'ichi Cree Nation from Quebec. We welcome them. And the Key First Nation from Saskatchewan, Canada. It's always a joy. God's doing something with the First Nation. Canada, Panama, Jamaica, Grenada, Barbados, Trinidad and Tobago, the U.S. Virgin Islands. We say hello to Venezuela. We're praying for a miracle in that nation. Guyana, Uruguay, Argentina, Peru, Dominican Republic, and Puerto Rico. Would you welcome all those that are watching from all over the world? And also some 29 states. We also say hello to our friends from different universities. We also welcome all of you. And so we're so thankful that you're here today. I want to just once again let you know what a blessing for your giving tonight. You saw just your work in Panama. We get to support different works around the world. But one of the great joys is about 18 years ago, a vision that Carter Conlin, our general overseer, had was for, Feed New York, child's cry. Feed New York is the food that goes all over the tri-state area. Child Cry is now in 73 nations, feeds 22,000 children a month. And so it's what you guys have done. Thank you. And so that Child Cry feeding program is in Panama. And then what you have done through even the help building the bridge, feeding the children, thank you so much. I do want to encourage you tomorrow. Do not forget is noon prayer meeting. Whether you work in the city, we don't put it online because it's meant to pray for an awakening in New York City. So some people online are going, well, we want to pray with you. What we want you to do is start a noon prayer meeting in your city. So, and then you begin to pray for that awakening. So whether you can come for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, or stay the entire hour, we start right at 12 o'clock. I'll share for 90 seconds. Our worship team will, not the team, but just it'll be a simple song for 90 seconds, and then we pray and the presence of God comes. It is a powerful time of prayer together. And so we want to just encourage you, 12 to 1 o'clock, and then we end right at 1 o'clock. There'll be a moment there that we do pray for one another to send you back into New York City, and we pray that God would use you. So thank you for all those. Invite somebody to be there. It is open all over New York City for those that want to see an awakening take place. Finally, I'm so excited tonight. What a blessing. There are sometimes I get to sit and be fed and enjoy and just to see what the Lord wants to do tonight. I'm so thankful because tonight in the house, we've got our teams from all over. Our Jersey campus elders are here tonight. We have Summit International School of Ministry that will be joining us. In a few weeks, they're going to be with us, I think it is. In a few weeks, Summit will be here, and then they'll do the Summit takeover. All of the students take over the choir, everything. But tonight, what a joy for us. As Pastor Brad Geist leads our Jersey campus, tonight we're going to get to hear from our Summit campus pastor right there at our Bible school. We have a church, and it's led by one of the graduates of Summit who came from Ukraine, graduated the school in 2012, ordained a few years later, and has become that pastor, the lead pastor of that church, which we're so excited. Him and Haley, Pastor Pavel and Haley are such a blessing, not only that campus, but God has used them so powerfully to minister just all over the world, and we're so thankful. Would you welcome tonight our Summit campus pastor, Pastor Pavel Mofty.
Good evening. You may be seated. What a joy to be in the house of the Lord. Everyone in this room, and of course those that are tuning online, the presence of God is here. And it's not because he's in the air, it's because he lives inside of us. Praise be to God for that. few weeks ago, I thought I knew what I was going to share tonight. But for the past week and a half, God has been taking me on a journey. And I believe he gave me a word for tonight. And it's for all of us. And for some individuals specifically. The title of my message is, He Will Cause Us to Stand. And I think he put it this way, He will cause you to stand in the world that we live in. The crazy things that are happening out there, the peace of God can be inside of us. And that's where we're going to be talking about, that God desires to empower us through the power of the Holy Spirit for me and you to stand in a time like this. You are not a coincidence to live in a 21st century. You might read the word of God and think, man, I wish I lived during the time when Jesus walked the streets of Jerusalem. Well, let me say this way. You have it more amazing. He lives inside of me and you. And he designed me and you to live in the 21st century in New York City and all over the world for a purpose. For me and for you to stand in the power of God and to declare his glory and to be the hope to the generation around us. I'm reminded of the story of Elijah and the widow. Whenever when Elijah approached this widow, who was filled with despair and pain, who was filled with fear because of famine and everything that was going on around her, she looked at her child, and the only conclusion she can come to, she says, we're gonna die soon. She looked at the bread and she looked at the oil, and she came to this conclusion that it's only enough just for one meal, and we're gonna be preparing to die. And during the journey, Elijah the prophet joins her and says, well, can you share your food with me? And that's what we heard tonight, your giving is doing through Child Cry and all other programs that are feeding the hungry. Because there are children in this world that are saying, can you share with me as well? And the blessings of the Lord and the life of God is promised to those that share. And that's what she did, even though she was fearful. She didn't know what's gonna come next. But she shared with Elijah. But the fear that she was facing in her heart and in her life, he says, only if you would know what I'm dealing with. I'm just here to gather a few sticks so I can make this fire, cook the last meal, and die. What a picture of people filled with hopelessness, a heart filled with despair, a heart filled with not a future, but looking right in front of you and thinking, how am I gonna make it to the next day? But God has a plan. And God caused her to stand. God caused Elijah to stand, this widow to stand, and he's gonna cause me and you to stand in this world that is lacking the love of Jesus Christ. Not because the love of Christ is not powerful to reach to them, but because the world and the people of this world love darkness more than light. But me and you are the light of Jesus Christ. And when we stand, something happens. Miracles happens. Salvations happens through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But have you felt like this widow felt? This is the last paycheck that I have to pay the bills, and I don't know what I'm gonna do. This is the last rent that I have money to pay to, and I'm gonna be kicked out from the apartment. This is the last thing that I have, all the resources that I have to be able to feed my child, because I do not know how I'm gonna make it next month. But God is reminding me and you that as children of God, He will never leave us to be beggars. But He will provide right on time. He will be there to lead me and guide you and me all the days of our life. And if He has brought us through till today, He won't drop me and you, but He will take us by the hand and bring us to the finish line. Not too long after Haley and I got married in 2014, Haley went to the doctor's appointment, and we were just waiting for the results to come in to hear what is new and the regular physical that we were doing. And a phone call came from the doctor. In this moment of thinking, what's next? And the phone call says, well, I'm sorry to let you know, but your test came back and you have cancer. And all of a sudden, you think all of your life is ahead of you. You just got married. You're planning your life. And all what we did in that moment is give each other a hug, and we just cried. And I went to my friend's office, Josiah DeRose, who's one of the pastors as well. And we just cried together and prayed together. Later on, we received another phone call from the doctor to hear, I'm so sorry, we mixed up the results. In our hearts, there was such a joy that it's not us, it's not the story that belongs to our home, but at the same time, it's a realization that is the news of somebody else's family. And during those times, and you're wondering, what is going on? God is taking you through a journey, and those few hours felt like eternity. Last week, my wife had another physical, and on Friday, they called her and they said, well, we found something that we do not like. You have to come first thing on Monday morning, which was yesterday, which we're going to be doing an MRI and some tests to find out if you have cancer or not. And this has been one of the longest weekends. Thank God Pastor Jay was with us and he preached on Sunday. I don't know what I've done. But you're trying to move on with life, but all the worst thing scenario comes to your mind. You're trying to go to sleep and you dream about the bad news. You're trying to move on in life and all the thoughts are coming, thinking how life will be if this is true. But thank God, God has brought us through. And this scripture from Romans chapter 14, the end of verse 4 says, for God is able to make him and her stand. And it doesn't matter what kind of news we can have in our life, God is able and he's faithful and he wants to make me and you stand through everything that we face in life. And this was the very scripture that spoke to me and held me, even though I knew that God wants to speak to us tonight. But throughout this weekend, this scripture held me. God is able to make us stand. To make us stand because we are believers in Jesus Christ. And he is our anchor. And when God is my anchor, it doesn't matter how much the world will send winds against us, we are safe in his hand. Hallelujah. So after all the tests that my wife had yesterday, they said, it's not cancerous, but we have to monitor you. But let me tell you something. Whatever what it is, the journey that is ahead of us, we're going to be rejoicing, trusting the Lord, and we're going to believe that God has the last word. Hallelujah. But during this season, especially during this weekend, I began to think of so many brothers and sisters that received that phone call that you wish it was never true. So many brothers and sisters, so many widows, so many orphans that are facing from day-to-day life, struggling, thinking how they're gonna make it. And I believe the Lord is reminding me and you tonight that we shall stand through the power of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit. We will stand. We will finish the race with a shout of glory. Hallelujah. It seems like everything is falling apart. But I believe that in God's hands, everything remains intact. Hallelujah. I'm reminded of the story of the Apostle Paul, that if he had anything to share about life being crazy, it was him. Maybe at times he struggled. Before transformation came into my life, it seemed to me that I was okay. I was persecuting the church. I had power, authority, doing what I want to do, putting people in prison that did not agree with my ideology. But the moment I became a believer, everything became in my life upside down. He was in prison frequently. received 40 stripes minus one. Let us note this, that he does not exaggerate. He could totally say, even though he was 39, I can say 40. No, but he says 40 minus one, because he does not exaggerate his pain. He's very accurate through what he's going through. Beaten with rods, once was stoned, three times shipwrecked, weary, sleepless nights, hungry, thirsty, cold, naked. He has every reason to question God. Abandoned, hurt, because people accuse him of different things and cause him pain, to the point of his friends leaving him, resisting the things of this world. And because of that, he was suffering. He was betrayed by believers. When he talks about Demetrius and other people that has left him because they loved the world, persecuted for the gospel. And you can look at Apostle Paul and say, you have every reason to be bitter. You have every reason to buckle. You have every reason to fall and think like the widow thought, this is my last meal and I give up. But hear what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. Verse 17, which is powerful. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Hallelujah. My brothers and my sisters, at times we will experience like we are alone. At times we will experience betrayal. At times we will experience hunger, lack. At times we will go through all these trials. But God is here to remind you that you will stand, because he will cause you to stand. And I love this, what he says. But the Lord stood with me. When no one stood besides me, there was a God, a loving Father, who stood besides me and strengthened me and caused me to stand. Hallelujah. And he's able to encourage a young man by the name of Timothy, reminding him that Christ came to cause us to stand against adversity. God will cause you to stand and overcome the challenges in your life. Do you believe that tonight? Whatever what you're facing, God will cause you to stand. God is with you. He's not against you. He does not work against you. But he hears your cry and he hears your prayer. There might be season in our life where we'll feel like we are alone. But always remember this, that when no one stands with you, God will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm reminded of my heritage. And I've shared so many times, but that's my heritage. That's my family. When my grandparents were in their 20s, they were freshly introduced to the gospel of Jesus Christ. During that time, during the former Soviet Union, where there was persecution, to receive and respond to the gospel was not a light thing, because you knew possibly either can be killed or sent to labor camps. But God was doing miracles around the former Soviet Union. Churches, underground churches, were growing. And they gave their life to Jesus Christ by responding in faith. And through that, persecution came. They did not have the Bible. We have like 10 Bibles, all kinds of translations. They did not have the Bible. Often people lived by what they've heard. People write notes, a few scriptures here and there. They did not know theology. They did not know the depth of the Word of God. But they fell in love with Jesus. And they were willing to die for that gospel. My grandfather in his 20s was for many years in labor camps in prison. But my grandmother, when she was a young girl in her 20s, when she gave her life to Jesus Christ, her family turned against her. They hated her for becoming a believer. They considered her to be a traitor. And it was hard to stand in times like that. In the world, there are many believers in different countries that are standing and rising for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we are to pray for them tonight. But my grandmother did not want to turn away from her love and from her Savior, Jesus Christ. And her father, out of all the things that is supposed to protect her, took her from the house, brought her on the street. They lived in a village, told her to undress. And he took a stick and began to beat her, to deny Christ. How easy would it have been to buckle at the knees and to give in into this beating and to say, okay, that's fine, I'm going to reject Christ. But God in that moment caused her to stand. The little that she knew about the gospel, the little that she knew about Jesus Christ, God in that moment through the power of the Holy Spirit empowered her to take the beatings and to stand firm in faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the neighbors ran to her rescue and said to her, Father, what are you doing? You're going to kill her. Don't beat her with a stick. You're going to kill her. And in that moment, he can care less. But let me tell you that in moments when life feels like it's coming against me and you, and maybe a stick is not beating you, but the problems of this life, the politics of this life, the bills when you have to pay, the family tensions, the energy and the strength that it takes you to come into the house of God. And I'm reminding you tonight that God will cause you to stand and not give in, not give up, not draw back, but to go forward through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God loves me and you, and he will never turn his back towards his church because he loves us. And this is one message. This is the thought that I felt that God impressed upon my heart to relate to you tonight, that he will cause you to stand. If he caused my grandfather to stand, to go through many years of labor camp and live to be almost 80 years old, if he caused my grandmother to stand and to live to see her family live for God, he will cause me and you to stand because he is the same God. He is the same God. Praise be to him. And in my closing, as the worship team comes, I have a 3-year-old son. And the way I understand the love of Jesus Christ in a deeper way is through my children. My 3-year-old son loves to sneak into my room and Haley's room, into our room, and sleep with us. Now, my wife cannot sleep well if a child is joining us. I love sleeping with my kids. So, of course, they come to me, Daddy, can I sleep with you? And I said, for the sake of your mom, go to your room, please. But they don't. They want to sleep with Daddy. They want to be with their father. So my 3-year-old son again, Daddy, can I sleep with you? And I said, Ashton, please go to your room. I love you, Daddy. I love you. Can I sleep with you? And all of a sudden he begins to cry. I don't know how in 1 second somebody can cry. It's not like I spanked him or I've hurt him. It's like on a dime. All of a sudden rivers of tears. And that's what he says, Daddy, you make my heart feel sad. And then he continues, says, you hurt my feelings. And I look at him, and of course, I said, come on, let's go. Let's go. A few weeks ago, every night we're going through this scenario. But a few weeks ago, it was another ordeal. And I say, Ashton, please go upstairs. He says, Daddy, please. Please let me sleep with you. And I said, but you know that mama has a hard time sleeping when you're joining us. And all of a sudden, tears coming through his face. And he's like, Daddy, I thought we were friends. Please, I want to sleep with you. And I began to think about the affection that God has for me, for you. When we come to him, and we have the same understanding to say, God, I thought we are friends. God, I thought we have a relationship with you. Where are you at right now? Why are you turning away from me? Why do I feel alone? But God is reminding me and you tonight that if I love my child and if he's asking for bread, I'm not gonna give him a stone. How much more when we ask God to give us good gifts, he's not gonna turn away from me and from you. Jesus is our provider. He is our Savior. And he is our friend. I'm here to remind you that God will cause you to stand in this wicked world. And not only to stand, but to speak the truth and make a change. Darkness will not overtake you and me. But the life and the light of Jesus Christ will shine on us and through us to other people. And Psalm 23 verse 4 says this. Yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of the shadow of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And I stopped and began to think about this verse. It does not say that yea, do I walk through the valley of death. But it says it's a shadow. And it's always there. The shadow is there to scare you and me. But you know how the shadow appears? Only if there is light. My brothers and my sisters, God causes me and you to see the shadow because his light is shining for me and for you to recognize that it's just a shadow. And death has no power over you and me. We have victory through the cross. God will cause me and you to stand and come to the other end with victory, with our families, with our children together. To shout praises to him. The enemy only can offer shadows, but through Jesus Christ there is life and life in abundance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why? Because I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And Apostle Paul reminds us that whatever what we have committed into his hands, he doesn't say that you will keep it. He says, I am committed to keep it till the end day. Hallelujah. It is God who keeps us. It is God who loves us. It is him who will drive us to the end and bring us by the hand to the end, to the finish line. My brothers, my sisters, you might be praying for your marriage and you might be like the widow. This is the last straw and he's gone. Or she's gone. You might be praying for your child and you're thinking, God, I've served you. I've walked with you. What happened with my children? Why are they not in the house of God? And this is where the shadows are coming in. But let me tell you, it's because of the light of Christ shining and reminding me and you that this is a time when I'm gonna cause you to stand and not give in and not give up. Maybe sickness came part of your life and you're saying, God, I've served you, I've been in ministry, I've been doing all of these things. What happened? God is still in control. I do not have the answers and I'm not gonna pretend like I know everything, but this is what I'm gonna tell you. What gave me an anchor over this weekend where it was filled with fear and unknowing things. God, you will cause me to stand. Hallelujah. Why? Why will you cause me to stand? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me. I don't want to go usually. Even if I'm forced, most likely I will take the other path. But he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. One conclusion, for what? For him to get the glory. Everything that we do in life is for God to get the glory. He can get the glory in the mountain, he will get the glory in the valley. He never changes, circumstances will change. But everything that we're facing in life, oh God, you get the glory. For your name's sake, yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow. Say with me, shadow. Of the shadow of death. There is no death, it is just a shadow to scare us. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's our testimony, my brothers and my sisters. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. I want me and you to stop in the moments of distress and see the mercy of God, because it's there. We just have to look for it. The goodness of God is there. We just have to see it. And how do we see it? By knowing that we will stand. And then he says this, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord on Sunday. On Tuesday night, forever, forever, and ever, and ever, and ever. Why? Because me and you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. God dwells inside of us. We can praise Him in the mountain. We can praise Him in the valley. We can praise Him at work. We can praise Him in our apartment. We can glorify His name. Why? Because He will cause me and you to stand. Unmovable, unshakable God. True to His word. True to His promise. And He says that I will bring you to the end. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Peace be to your home. Peace be to your circumstances. Peace be in your marriage. Peace be in your family, in your children. And may God tonight empower you by the Holy Spirit to stand. Would you stand with me, please? I would like to give an altar call. And the altar call is this: God, I'm weary, I'm worried, I'm scared. What's ahead? Please lift me up and cause me to stand. And if this is you, we're gonna just spend time in God's presence to say, God, tonight, cause me to stand. Tonight, let it be the night that you will strengthen me so I will never go back. Father, I'm so grateful for what you have done in our lives, and I'm so grateful for your word. And I thank you, as the book of Romans reminds us, that it's you who causes us to stand. And we shall stand in Jesus' name. Please come, wherever where you are, respond to this. And we're going to believe for the Lord to do a work in our lives and cause us to stand.
Some shy and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. So I'll send my soul.
I'm going to ask you to do something. When we, like we did this on Sunday, we've said when you're next to somebody, put a hand on someone's shoulder. I'm going to ask you to do something different today, because I want you to know that the body of Christ is there with you. So instead of holding hands, instead of putting a hand on a shoulder, you know what I want you to do? Just put a hand under someone's elbow, like you're going to hold them up right now. Just hold them up. Just hold them up. Just say, I just want to hold you up. I just want to hold you up. Just hold them. Hold them. And I want you to pray, God, help them to stand right now. Come on, go ahead and pray for them. God, help them to stand right now. I'm holding them up. I'm praying for Ricardo, Jeanette, and the boys, that God, you're going to help them to stand right now. When the enemy comes in like a flood, help them to stand. When all of a sudden it seems that the reports have come in, whether they're afraid of losing a job or losing their health or losing a child, help them to stand today in Jesus' name. Father, we hold one another up right now. Father, it's just symbolic, God, as we're bringing in a prayer and saying, God, may this be a night of you strengthening our legs, you strengthening us right now. And so, Father, we believe that right now you're going to help them to stand in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Now, would you just look at me for a second? Pastor Pavel, we're going to get ready to pray for you. Come, Pastor Pavel, look at me just for a second. Before Job gets going, the whole book gets going, and you have, and you're going to hear all of Job's detractors, you're going to hear all of these naysayers. They make a statement. This is why I had you do this, of just praying for another. They said this about Job. This is what they said about his life. In Job chapter 4, I believe it's verse 4, it says this: You've kept men on their feet. That's what it says. You've kept men. One version says, you've kept men from tottering. That's why we held one another. That's why we did this. That's why we just said, our words, what do you mean your words? Those prayers, those encouragement. Do you understand? Look at me I want you to look at me. Brother Dave Wilkerson used to say this. Look at me in my good eyes. Look at me just for a moment. I want to say something to you. Do you understand how both toxic and ridiculous discouraging words are when you speak them to each other? Don't bring that in here. People need to be encouraged. They need to be encouraged. So when you see somebody and you don't like their hair or their dress, don't say anything. So you're asking me to lie. No, just say, praise Jesus. I'm so happy you're in church tonight. That's all you say. Just encourage. People come here. There's some people that walk into this place. They need a word of hope. And I understand we as New Yorkers go, well, I got to tell the truth. No. You need to be encouraging. You are a Christian before you're a New Yorker. And we're going to begin just to encourage one another and say, God, we're going to keep men and women from tottering, from falling over. Your words kept men on their feet. And that's why it's important. You know what I want you to get used to? If you hear someone's battle, difficulty, the first words I want out of your mouth is this: let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. That's the first words. You don't even have to tell your story. Well, I understand what you're going through. Let me tell you what I'm going through. No. Just pray. Say, brother, let's pray. Sister, let's pray. That's what I want you to do. Does that make sense? So here's what we're going to do tonight. I can't hear this story about Haley and Pastor Pavel and not think that we are going to let him go tonight without praying for him. That's the first thing that comes. That's why I want you to think that way. I want you to think that way. I want you to go, when we hear it, we say, we want to begin to pray. We want to begin to pray. Here's what I want us to do for our summit pastor. We're going to get ready to pray. I want the team, come around him. Come on, come around him. Come around him. We're going to pray that our pastor, our summit pastor right now, and Haley is going to receive a touch. We say, thank God for a good report. Can we believe for healing right now? Come on, let's believe for healing. Start to pray, church. Pray for healing right now. Speak healing. Speak words of encouragement out of your mouth right now. You may be praying and you have dealing with cancerism. You pray. Pray, God, heal right now. So in Jesus' name, we stand with Pastor Pavel. We hold his arms. We strengthen his legs. We speak life to Haley right now. We say healing in Jesus' name. The enemy that would come in with all of these thoughts, these lies, the enemy that would come in and try to predict the future, we declare today that the keys of hell and the grave are in Jesus' hands. It doesn't belong to Satan. It doesn't belong to cancer. It doesn't belong to doctors. It belongs to Jesus. You won that. So God, you are going to protect this family. You're going to heal Haley, and your hand is going to rest upon them. I pray he leave here knowing God is with him. God is with him. God is with him. So we stand together. We stand. We stand today and believe for this mighty touch upon your pastor, God, even tonight. We believe that. And over everyone here, everyone that's here that begins to feel their legs beginning to totter back and forth, that they're not going to have the ability to stand, whether to stand for the gospel, whether to stand with a family that's trying to come against them, standing against accusations, standing right now. We're going to pray, strengthen them, soul and spirit. And may this be a night of encouragement. We say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 You know, if you're here tonight, we talk about standing. It doesn't come from willpower. It doesn't come from just going like, we're just going to move on through. You know what it comes? It's Jesus' power. It's Jesus inside of us. It's not hype. It's the power of God inside of us. And there may be people here that are just going, wow, this is I love the positivity of this church. Okay, let me just help you. If you're defining it as positivity, you're missing it. It's not positivity. It's a person. It's Jesus Christ. It's Christ inside of us. And maybe that's all that you've heard before. You're just going like, I like positive places. I want to come to a place like this. Folks, this is what I want to invite you to. I want to, because every one of us are going to face those battles, those trials. We're going to face those bad reports. But the thing that keeps us is a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the only thing that keeps us. You may be here tonight going, I need what they have. And it's not a church, it's not a denomination, it is Jesus. He is the one that lives inside of us. He is the one that wipes our tears. He is the one that gives us hope for tomorrow. He is the one that strengthens when it seems that everything inside of me is about to fall. He strengthens us. And when everything on the outside is falling apart, I thank God I have a God who's not falling apart. And you may be here tonight and saying, Pastor Tim, what are you speaking about? What is this? And I'm talking about, it's a relationship with Christ. It's called being born again. Born again. What does that mean? Jesus even said this. He said, no man can see the kingdom of heaven beyond life and in life unless they're born again. What does born again mean? Just had a first birth physically, you need a second birth spiritually. How does that happen? We tell people it's as simple as ABC. It's A, admitting that we're sinners. We're all broken on the inside. You can't fix yourself, and there's not a program or a prescription. There's not a person that you know or can marry that can fix you. Only Jesus can fix you. That's the B word. Believe that Jesus came 2,000 years ago to fix our sinful condition when we couldn't do it ourselves. He would become our sin bearer, die the death we were supposed to die, live a life we couldn't live, and then begin to give us a reward we don't deserve called forgiveness in heaven. And finally, it's C, confessing him as Lord, saying, you're in charge of my life. Can I just help you? This relationship with Jesus doesn't work. People do this thing, I'll come on Sundays. Okay, look at me for a second. Jesus is not interested in a dating relationship. that you just date him on the weekends. He wants a marriage. He wants to be there every single day. He wants you to wake up with Jesus. He wants you to go to work with Jesus. He wants Jesus to be part of your life. Most people, religion asks for a date. Jesus says, you and I are going to be one. We come together. That's being born again. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Tim, will you pray that born again prayer? I want Christ. I want him in my life. Maybe you've never done that before. I'm telling you, you won't stand unless you have Jesus. But if you're here today and say, Pastor Tim, when you pray that born again prayer today, I want Christ inside of my life. That's you. Hold up your hand. Say, pray for me. Hold it up as high as you can. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, yes. Come on, I want everybody to pray this with me. Say, dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. You faced hell for me so I wouldn't have to go. You rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, a purpose on earth, and a relationship with your Father. Today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. Come on, now say this loud. Say, God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is my home. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, and amen. Now listen, if you've prayed that prayer in-house, I want you just to text the word decided to 51,000. If it's online, around the country, around the world, you can either text that or you can even email decided to growth at tsc.nyc. You'll see a link come on online. You have made the greatest decision of your life. Please begin to text. What should be my next step? If you're a young person, come Friday nights. If we start Sundays, join our foundation, get water baptized. You'll hear all that when you begin to text and email. Boy, what a word tonight from Pastor Pavel. Thank you, Pastor Pavel. Thank you.